our mentalities, because I just know that the Lord is just wanting us to get away from any pre-arranged thinking that we have of what church is. Let's be very honest. It hasn't worked. At the most, we've become very knowledgeable people. We know a lot. But it has not brought the kingdom of God. It has not, and we pray it, you know, we pray it all the time. We have a mentality that the kingdom of God is up yonder somewhere. But we prayed it all of our life, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. And so there is the coming of the kingdom of God. And the church is to bring it. That's the ministry of the church, is to manifest the presence of the will of God in the earth. So, I'm not going to take a long time with this. I really kind of don't even want to get into it after what we've experienced and went through tonight. But I do want to just challenge our thinking in what are we doing and why are we doing it? And not in just our only services, but in every single thing that we do. The school has taken a radical change. I mean, the Friday thing. I mean, that's pretty radical. We are equipping now. Our thinking has gone more into the equipping aspect of the thing. We've taught them scriptures and all those things, but now we have thrust out into the area of equipping. I think our church is beginning to take that thrust. If the video was ready for the reading circle thing, you would see you ministering. You would see the effect that you had on that area, and how the people were just. And I had some interviews that I did with four or five of the people there, and they were excited. I mean, they loved us being there. And so what I believe that did for us, we ministered to them, but I believe that it helped us so much to find out that, and it just wiped away all the fears and the bad thinking that I had, all the fears and frights that I had about going and doing something like that. Do you know what I'm saying? That is gone now. And all of a sudden now I feel like there's more out there to do than we can get done. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like now, I mean, the Lord just opened up the entire city to us. You know, all of the Jack Hart has just opened up every area to us with his electricity, with his facilities, and said, here, go and use them and do what you want to do. And it's like now, if we could do it every week, we could do it every week. Do you know what I mean? And all of a sudden, it just seems like it's just opened up because we took the step. And we made a change, and we decided that we were going to do something different. Now, the thing that I'm working to is that I think that everything that we do, we need to ask ourselves that question. What are we doing, and why are we doing it? Is there a better way of doing it? And the only thing that I really want to touch tonight, the only question, is what are we doing? Is our services, is what we're doing good enough to attract the lost? Is there something that we can do? Is there some thought that you have that you can plant tonight that can add light? What can we do to attract the lost? Now, not that Grace is lost. She's not. But she is one of the newest people coming into our fellowship. And I've already touched this with her. I've already kind of went over this with her, but I was asking her, and I wanted her input into this, and I specifically asked her to try to come tonight because I really wanted to know what she felt as a person coming in from, and if I understand right, you correct me, okay? But you've visited a lot of places around you, Mike, Nancy. Is this correct? Or do you feel like you're on the spot here? don't feel that way, okay? You're helping us. And you visited around a lot, and you come in, and since you came, which was about, this is about your fourth week, I think, is that correct? Something like that. You haven't missed. I mean, you've been real regular, real faithful. Brought Nancy and Mike, and And I really want to know, and I want you to share with me and share with so that the people can hear what you felt, what you feel, what you think, the frightenings that you have, your understandings that will kind of help us a little bit. Would you do that?
I gotta go home.
You gotta go home.
I don't
want to. You don't. You're on the spot now.
Yeah. I had told Delbert last week that the one-on-one things make me uncomfortable, but that's human nature, I think. And I think the more you do that, the more comfortable you become. And also, as far as just church in itself, I've been to so many different churches that when I walk out, I think, what did I get out of that today? I didn't feel anything. I didn't even understand what they were talking about. And I've just been bored to death. And I have not been bored here by any means. I don't have time to get bored. And I've enjoyed it, but I'm a babe in the woods as far as this ministering 101. I really don't know what it's all about.
So that's the only uncomfortable thing that you can relate to right now,
mm-hmm.
is that just kind of duck out of water type deal with
right.
with that. But do you feel that it's necessary? Do you feel like it's something that you need? That it's preparing you for things down the road that the Lord is going to have you to do, giving you a boldness and a confidence to pray for people and minister to people.
Yeah.
So even though it's uncomfortable, do you suggest that we continue or what?
Yeah.
Good. Anybody have a question they'd like to just ask her? No, I really. I want. Listen, this is the kind of attitude I want here. I want input. I want to know. Kevin, what attracted you to come here initially? It was Courtney, I suppose, wasn't it? Is she?
Well, I had thought about it before, because like I said, I had just been bored to death with every church I've been to around here, and I had thought about it, but you know, it was like you said, you hear all sorts of things. I mean, you know, I thought maybe there was.
Did you hear that one about making people virgins again?
No, I missed
you
that
know.
One. I missed that one. And then when Courtney was coming, she had told me what went on, and you know, I just decided to come with her.
Good.
Yeah. If you bring the snakes out,
we are too. Good. So what I hear you say is that you sense that we're on track. We're on something fresh, new, groundbreaking, relevant, on the edge type of a situation. Karen, you and Mike, been here since Graham, around the time that Graham Cook was here, you all began to come. Thoughts? Anything that you... I want you to put it so we can have it on the tape so I can listen to it some more if I need to.
When we were in Tampa, we were used to dancing. We didn't have mime and the choir singers, you know, but we were used to being able to dance and clap and really, you know, release ourselves to the Lord. And we didn't find that when we came to Georgia. And we thought this was a Bible Belt. And it was like, I don't know, I was looking for an Assembly of God church, you know, and I had never been to a Church of God. And Mike and I were just looking for a spirit-filled church. And they really aren't. And so I was the fourth church that one Sunday night when I came here, I kept on trying to visit another church, and this is where I ended up. And we knew this was it. But it's because we felt the Spirit of the Lord. We knew that people here just welcomed us like you wouldn't believe. And we knew it was genuine and sincerity. I mean, that's what you look for. You look for genuineness, sincerity. You look for hearts that are turned toward the Lord. And you were really seeking the Lord. I mean, it wasn't like you were just carrying on a formality. And I mean, I have never seen a pastor dance like you do. And it's wonderful. It's really wonderful. I mean, because you're in tune, and everybody's in tune. And it's not. And you know, sometimes you go to a church, and you might have a key person or a few that are really tuned in, and everybody's sort of sitting there and receiving. But people give. They receive, they hear. I mean, this whole body wants to do for the Lord. And, I mean, that's what we're looking for. I mean, where you can really walk with the Lord and do what the Lord has for you. And I mean, where is that church? Even in Tampa, I didn't find that church. It was still that select few. And here, this whole body is with the Lord. I mean, it is like when you walk in here, you see Jesus in every seat. It is great. And that's what attracted us, because, I mean, when your heart's bursting to do something and you can't do it unless the Lord is led, you have to be with people where you're equally yoked, and we're babies and serving. But, boy, it's a breath of fresh air. And, I mean, when these doors were open, if they weren't open, we would probably break them down to get in here. It is great. It is great. And I do have one little thought about, you know, when we ministered over at Reading Circle, I have just a lady and her son on my heart. And as far as where we are, and this job that God has me in right now has been really hard. But, I think if when we go in once a month, sometimes that might not be enough. Like, if God gives us one person on our heart, we really need to go. And I don't know where she lives, but I know of the very, and I'll knock on the doors till I find her. But I need to find her, and I don't know what it is. But if there's a picture of a person's face in our mind, or if there's something that God, we need to really go and do it, because that might just be that person that might commit suicide or something that we might just need to minister. It might just be that knock on the door. But I don't think once a month, any place, I think it's like each of us, maybe God, we could pray for God to put on our hearts to minister, that we could reach out individually as well as being there, so that we won't just be a show, but that we'll actually show by our actions. And I mean, it's happened to me, and I'm trying to find time to go and knock on her door and find out where she is. That's what's happened to me since Reading Circle.
Amen. Amen. I was praying, I think it was this morning. But anyway, you know, I know I gave out those papers a while back. We were doing some talking and things, and I had gotten it out of one of those little books that Karen had shown me. But it was a 5 and 5 thing, 5 people that will receive your ministry, 5 people that won't, but 10 people that are lost, and you pray for those people every day. Well, in my time of prayer, what the Lord really began to quicken to me was have one person that I'm seriously seeking, asking the Lord for, to give me their face to bring into the kingdom of God, and then another person that I'm discipling. And that's a whole lot easier for me than the 5 and 5 than the 1 and 1. One person that's already in, but I'm discipling, and another person that's not in, that I need to win, that I need to bring in to the kingdom of God. And that's just something that he's quickened to me, and I think that he'll probably quicken something to all of us if we were to ask him for that. What are we doing, and why are we doing it? Now, are our services good enough to attract the lost? Are they? What do you think? What is your... Lost people come in here. They've got these religious thoughts of what a church is supposed to be. They come in here, and we're having our way, which I think is closer to the New Testament, not putting anything else down, but just what we see that the New Testament teaches. Is it going, will it, and why isn't it doing it? You know, that's about 3 questions right there, all in one. But what do we need to do to bring the lost in? Everybody's got about as many answers as I do. We just don't know.
I think the problem is fundamental when you say, why would it attract lost people? Well, lost people won't be in church. That's mm-hmm. that they're not going to be
good.
Here.
Very good.
That's just not the place they go. They're not thinking, oh, where am I going to hang out today? Oh, I'll just go hang out at the church. That'll be fun, because that's not what they're thinking about doing. So the thing is that we're not going to get the harvest here, seldomly. Now, you know, I think Shirley's question was real good this morning, where did, you know, half the people didn't get saved within a church building. They got, you know, they met the Lord or whatever in a different place. But everybody that came to church, or unless they were raised in a family that did it. I mean, I was saved in church, but the only reason why I wasn't saved somewhere else is because I was coming to church with you guys. I mean, I wasn't going to church. And so probably most of the people that got saved in church were people who got saved in church when they were children, coming with their parents. So the situation is, I think that if we think we're going to just have great services to bring in lost people, we're going to have to do a whole lot of advertising, and we're going to have to change a whole lot of things, or either we're going to have to get out in the streets where they are, or out in the community,
or both,
and bring them. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess so. Yeah. But unless, you know, if God's talking to somebody, if God's ministering to somebody and convicting them, and all that kind of stuff, then he's doing that on his own, which isn't usually the way that he handles it, I don't think, not in my experience. I mean, I'm not saying that he can't, but he convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, but usually he uses people as vessels to bring them in.
Sure.
If he's doing that, then somebody says, you know, I need to go to church. I know about Jesus. I need to go somewhere and get myself right. Then they'll come, and they'll go to the first place, the closest one, the church they know about.
Well, probably, and I'm glad you said that, because that helps me. When I got under conviction in my life, and I saw on the outside, I looked successful, I looked like, man, we had everything, but inside, I knew I was a mess. And what I did, what the church that I went to, was a church of somebody that I had seen their life change, that I had literally knew them prior to their born again changing of their life, and they weren't saved in church either. They were actually saved watching Ernest Angley. Can you believe it?
Can you say babe?
And anyway, they were, and I watched his life and their family's life change. And so when my life began to get under conviction, then where I went was where he was going. Does that make sense? I mean, it was good enough to change his life, then surely then it would change mine. And it was a Pentecostal church, and I knew that, and I'd never been in Pentecost before. And so we went there. So that kind of incorporates with what you're saying, I think, is that as long as we're touching the lost, as long as we're touching people, praying for people, reaching out to people, being friendly to people, when they get ready, when God does convict their life, they're going to go to where they know people whose lives are changed, really changed, go.
Right. And that, you know, that's a lifestyle evangelism, I guess, is like the terminology that's been given by the church to that. That's not all I'm saying. I'm saying that you gotta go to places other than church. And maybe even have church. You know, we talked about this from when we were coming back from Reading Circle, that I mean we basically had church there. And, you know, why can't we just do something like that? You know, we're here, we're closed up, there's not a window in this room, you know, and it's just of course the way the building is, but you know, nobody can see it. We're boxed in. Who knows what goes on in here? And so if we go, you know, even like so the thing that we did, I think that was really good when we went over there. I think that we made a statement, and it was a bold statement. I just think we need to continue to do things like that. Plus, we need to, you know, have our relationships with people outside. And when they get ready, God will bring them in.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we do whatever we do.
With that, and I'm going to add a thought to that also, but with that, I really want to do our services, okay? And I've talked a little bit with Steve Allman about this, that like when we have a big, when we do something on a Sunday morning, maybe once a month, that we have a big dance and a big mime thing, and we really try to thrust and have a big production, all right, that we really make an emphasis to invite people to come. We have something that we're going to do. You know, kids, bring your parents. You know, let's get the people here because we're doing something with that in mind. In other words, I guess what I'm trying to say, somewhere in our thinking, we have to get into our thinking that we have got to invite folks to church. I don't really think that we're inviting people to church. And I think that we need to do things so that it will help us and give us a reason to invite people to church. Roger? We bought some other things. We bought some DC, AC converter. We've done a few things. Probably a total of about $300, something like that. Here's what I was gonna ask. How many of you would like to do this? A Sunday, you know, just this, say, just for example's sake, next Sunday we would say, okay, next Sunday we're not gonna start church at 10 o'clock. Be here at 11 o'clock. We're gonna load up PAs, hay wagons. We're gonna go the hot dog stand.
the candy, cotton candy machine, and we're heading over there again. And we're going to start at 12 o'clock, okay? We're going to start, go over there and set up at 11, start at 12 o'clock, give away, have lunch with them. Us eat, they eat, and just do church there. I mean, the whole thing. Just go over there and have church. Now, you couldn't do it this time of the weather because the weather is not helpful right now. But there are, you know, there are times of the year that is. How many would like to do that? I mean, yeah. To me, that's what we're talking about. You know, doing services that will draw, even if we have to go to them. But every once in a while, we just really need to have some kind of thrust where we are encouraged and desire to bring people in and invite the lost to come to church. I don't think we're inviting people to come to church. Shirley, wave at me. Okay. I'll come to you.
Let Shirley go first.
I forgot what I was going to say. I was too busy fighting. No, just. I know how he operates. Okay, I was just going to comment that if we did go over there occasionally and had services there, that might break the ice as far as them coming over here also.
Yeah.
Because they get used to the, shall we say, routine, you know, but they get more comfortable with it. And I was just wondering, have we done, or
I
do
mean,
we...
I mean, they hear the rumors, too. You know, they hear all the stuff that everybody else hears about us, and, you know, but go ahead.
And I was just wondering, have we done or do we plan on doing any special advertising over there for the Christmas drama?
No, but we should. What else can we do? You're talking about going in that area? Just to make sure they get a personal type of invitation. Yeah, yeah. Okay, right, let me, hold it. Who was it? Was it Deborah that was talking today about doing a going over there with Christmas carols and giving away turkeys like thing? Is that who it was? Would you like that? Hey, well, you know, we'll get Dr. Grimm's wagon and the trucks and things and put hay on them and we'll just go over there and Christmas carol and give away turkeys. We'll ride down to every home and knock on the door and give them a turkey and sing. How about that? Would that be cool one night? We'll just do that one Sunday night. Okay?
Excuse me, Karen. Excuse me.
I'll get you the microphone in a second.
I want you to all think about this. Now, Lance, this has been brought up. We discussed this when we were thinking about doing Reading Circle. Now, the problem with society today, the problems are with the children. You know, the children, the one-parent families, and the kids that are, say, between 13 years old and 20 years old. At night here, at least in the summer, I know the kids are in their trucks and they're doing nothing. They're all lined up at Kmart and lined up at the fish place and the pizza place. We've got to really think about a dance. We've got to think about a teen type of get-together where the lost are getting with the saved. I'm telling you, this will work. The hot dogs and all that stuff, you could sell it. I mean, you could sell it so cheap, the thing would actually pay for itself. We could do it in one of the buildings here. Yeah. Didn't we discuss this, Lance?
Yeah, a little bit.
And then I really think the kids would start to get back with the parents, or even if we had to say, hey, don't worry, we'll get them home if they get dropped off. You know, someplace for them to go. And I really think if you get with the city, whoever you're talking, they're helping you out with the power or whatever, I'm thinking something here or maybe even this place. But it has to be the Catholic churches used to do that up north a lot. And it gets, what I'm saying is it gets our kids together and the young people and everybody together with the teens, and maybe that could get something that'd be going maybe a weekly thing, you know, maybe a Friday night thing. I don't think it would be expensive is what I'm saying. I'm thinking finances, I think we'd be taken care of. Kids want to go somewhere, they want to spend a few dollars, I think it would be something we'd...
Who had the coffee shop idea? Somebody had that one time. Was it Steve? Wasn't it you and Paula that did that? Okay. Okay, well, I think what Turk was talking about is like, I think if I remember correctly, we had a meeting with some of us just got together and tried to decide what we was hearing the Lord tell us to do. And we knew He was saying, get out, you know. And I think what we were talking about is we thought we was going to, we had discussed possibly renting a building someplace and just setting it up for no other purpose but for this, right? And every week it was done for a teen hangout type thing where it'd be kind of like Graham was talking about their pub ministry, I guess, as they would set it up for where people would just come and, I mean, we wouldn't have the beverages, but those kinds of beverages, but it would be set up for inexpensive things just to minister. I think that was even mentioned. I think the theater was mentioned, wasn't it? Oh, wait a second. Who's got the mic?
We could have like a lunch, like you're talking about having church down there, but in the wintertime, maybe just have like a banquet here and especially go and invite everybody.
Say again.
Have a banquet here and especially go down there and invite everybody.
Okay.
To come like at 12 o'clock on church on Sunday while it's wintertime.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I think what Laura was talking about was something that we could battle with the weather, right? Giving a place to do if you had bad weather. I think that was your point, I think, your main point. You enjoying this?
Yeah.
Who was it? Okay, hand it down. Whoa.
Or what might be a good idea, too, since they do have that recreational department, first would maybe be go to that area and do that type of entertainment, of dancing and stuff to there, and then to the other housing project and to the other, and then, like, get it to going. If we send it, if we just have it here, they won't be more likely to come.
Yeah, that's what they're saying, is get out there.
Get out there and do it first, and then after you start the groove rolling, just say, well, let's go to the house and have it at the house.
Yours not?
No, well, that was a good idea that I thought that Shirley had about the flyers and stuff for the drama. And we had talked this morning about the 20th, which that was after the drama. The drama's the 17th and 19th. If we could give out the turkeys and the flyers, you know, all, if we could work out a time before the drama, which is practices, so I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
Well, we should bring the people of Reading Circle over here and have, like, praise and worship over here for them, too. And we can have, like, church for them.
Okay. My daddy's got something he wants to say.
Sing on?
Yeah, buddy.
How about an old tent meet? You talking about the weather?
That came up. That came up about in our meeting that time about having a tent meeting.
Have an old time tent meeting. Have dancing, speakers. I belonged to the Nazarene Church in Miami when I was a child, raised up. They had tent meetings. They'd rent a tent from a place that rented tents, pews and everything. And they had dancing and everything there, and you'd be surprised, turn up the speakers a little louder till you reach them, and they'd like go for that music and dancing and that. And try it out if you think it's a good idea in the wintertime.
Yeah.
Just rent a tent and have an old-time tent meet.
Yeah, we even talked about that at Reading Circle. We was wondering, you know, if it was bad weather, what we could do, and that thought even came up. Instead of, at that time, we were going to go onto the basketball court, and there's this big opening right beside it on Hendrick Street. Isn't that where it's at? And that big open field, and we had thought we could even put up a tent out there and then have some protection from the elements. So that's another thought. But what I'm hearing you say, and that's what I really wanted to do was hear your thoughts and what you're at, what you're saying. But what I'm basically hearing you say is that we're still got to do it a biblical way, and we got to, the laborers have to be sent forth into the harvest field. Is that pretty much what I'm hearing? And we've got to go there. And if we get familiar enough with them and they see our lives enough and that we're witnessing to them, we're salt and light to them,
when the Holy Ghost begins to minister to their life, they'll come. They'll come here. Is that kind of what we have said tonight? But our church, our services just can't get mundane. They've got to continue to be different. And again, my prayer right now is that my eyes won't get scaled up with religion, that I won't get frightened, you know, of the things, and we'll just keep moving. And I want you to, as you're having your daily devotionals and Bible reading times, you know, spend some time in the book of Acts and in the epistles and specifically be looking at what they did, how their services were, what they did. I was looking even this morning at in Acts chapter 2, and it was talking that after Peter preached on Pentecost, they were baptized. And then it says they, and I never had noticed it before, but the they stayed steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Okay, they stayed steadfast in fellowshipping, breaking of bread, and prayer. That's what they did. They went from house to house. They were in the temple daily and from house to house breaking bread and fellowshipping. So what I was seeing is that they would be us. What we would be doing is that we would be steadfast in our own times of understanding, and then fellowshipping amongst ourselves, and then from that, people were so affected, the people were so moved by what they were seeing these people have and these people do, that they were beginning to bring out their people out into the streets just so that Peter's shadow could pass by. Just because they were witnessing what was going on with these people. Their lives were so happy. They were having friendships and relationships, and they had a common bond together of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people really do want that.
I feel that if we truly are sincere in wanting to go out of these walls, and I think, you know, like the Bible talks about, and you even talk about it, discipleship and discipling an individual or a family. We as families, let's say my family, and let's say like Cindy, she might be by herself, Cindy Ball. But let's just say Cindy and I and my family, we disciple one family over there. That we go over, and in other words, if we say there's 75 families over there, well then let's each one of us take one individual family and minister to them, find out if they have needs physically, spiritually, financially, whatever they might be. And then we as a body can come back together, not only pray for them corporately, but individually. And if there were financial needs, like we have told people in times past, that, you know, it would have to be brought before the brothers of the church to see what would, you know, be done about that situation to maybe help someone at a time of need, maybe get some groceries or things for some family that are out of work. But I think that would really minister one-on-one and disciple like that. We could, I would call it, attack the forces of hell over there and capture them all, in a sense, bring them into the close to the body, and then we could go on to another area in the city and do the same thing.
One of the primary purposes of going to and doing what we did and continuing to do what we did, one of the primary purposes of it was to find a home where we could begin a care group in it. Okay, and that still thing ran into land. They were fellowshipping with a couple over there and talking with them, spending a lot of time with them. And they really feel like that particular home is going to be the place that the Lord will have us in eventually as in a care group situation, where we'll, from there, have a stronghold of our own that we can branch out, find the needs of the people, what their needs are, and begin to minister to them from that perspective. And that's right along the lines of what you're saying. You're saying, finding out what they need, getting involved with their lives, and then doing something. Yeah, I totally believe that. Have you guys talked to them anymore? It was Thanksgiving Day, and I just about called you, and I don't know why I didn't, but I had intended to call you and just see if I could get you to call them and just wish them happy Thanksgiving. And they don't have a phone. Well, okay. What are we doing, and why are we doing it? Let's keep asking ourselves that. Are we relevant? And I believe if we are sincere with that. And Karen, I really appreciated what you said. You know, one of the things that you noted about these people is that they were hungry for the things of the Lord, hungry for Jesus. It was like the Lord sitting, you know, all in here and
think that's the way that you phrased it. And, you know, and that's, I pray, that's my prayer, is that there, it won't be a hypocritical or a hypocrisy thing that we're doing here. That it's real, you know, and that we're real, and that I'm real, and that we're just ourselves. And we're not trying to put on some religious outfit and garment and do something that satisfies what people think church is, but that we're really seeking the will of God. And I really appreciate that. Did you feel that when you came, that it wasn't a show, that it was real, that it was, that people were really sincere and hungry and seeking after the things of God? Is that pretty much projected when you? Yeah. Okay. All right, what do we need to do? We got to get flyers.